See, now listen carefully. It's not election. What were they elected to do? It says there, the word is serve. Say that word, serve. Oh, that is vital. So it is election to serve, not election to salvation.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone. It's great to have you tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the Epistle of Romans. Today, Pastor concludes the message, God is sovereign. So let's listen in.
Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. You know, this is so vital to our understanding. Because, see, there is that horrible teaching that says, no, this is God has predestined and elected one to be saved and one not to be saved. That's not found in our text. It's not found in what we're teaching in Romans 9, 10, and 11 either. It's not found there. See, now listen carefully. It's not election. What were they elected to do? It says there, the word is serve. Say that word, serve. Oh, that is vital. So it is election to serve, not election to salvation. Very important that we see that. It does not say, okay, the older is going to be saved, the younger is not going to be saved. It says serve. Now listen carefully. Service and salvation cannot be mixed. Okay, let's put it this way. Works and grace cannot be mixed. Works and salvation, you, no matter what you do, you can't earn salvation. Is that right? Okay, God says, no, listen, I'm calling them because I need them to do something. I know what I want, and I'm calling them to serve me. Listen, salvation by grace is apart from anything that man or woman, any of us can ever do. Why did God choose Jacob and not choose Esau? Are you ready for this? Because he wanted to. That's it. It's not a sin. He says, no, I just want to. See, man has a problem. They think that we can tell God what to do. We can't tell God what to do. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, 9, he says, hey, I'm God. There's no other. I am God. There's none like me declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Don't mess with God. That's what he's saying. Now, look at verse 13 again. As it is written, Jacob I have loved and saved, and he is going to heaven. Does that say that? No. But that's what others are teaching today. And it says, oh, but Esau, I've hated his guts. I hate him, man. And I've chosen him to be lost. I predestined him to go burn in hell forever and ever and ever. That's not what it says. It says, Jacob I've loved, and Esau I have hated. Now, listen. God is saying, I have chosen to work through Jacob. I've not chosen to work through Esau. The blessings of the Messiah, the promised seed, is going to come through the line of Jacob, not Esau. Now, question, does God hate some people and love others? No, that's not in the Bible. These guys hadn't even done anything. They hadn't been born yet. You see, you know, we look at all that and say, well, you know, like I hear today, well, God chose people. He chooses people to be lost, or he chooses people to be saved. Really? Let me ask you a question. Is the God of the Old Covenant and the Old Testament different from the God of the New Covenant, the New Testament? No. The Lord says, I'm the Lord God. I do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? God doesn't change. Now, that means that his love doesn't change. Did God love sinners in the Old Testament? Yes. Does God love sinners in the New Testament? Yes. Romans 5, 8, that God proves, or he demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen? He loves us. God loves everyone. God didn't hate Esau. He didn't love Jacob more. That's not what this text is teaching or saying at all. French reformer, all the way back, you know, those hundreds of years ago, old John Calvin, not trying to beat the guy up, and, you know, he's probably in heaven. But you know, he says these verses refer to election, where God is either sending someone or giving salvation to one or damnation to the other. Even John Piper, very famous speaker today, retired pastor now, he says that Jacob and Esau were appointed for the respective destinies for eternity before they were ever born. Respected eternities, you know what that means? One went to hell, one's going to go to heaven. No, listen, God did not create Jacob to be, say, you're going to be a believer. How was Jacob saved? Say amen, good word. Same way we, by faith. No, God doesn't, that's not how God works. Loved one, listen, God chose Jacob and he did not predestinate Esau to be lost. God foreknew everything about Esau and his descendants. And he knew that they were not going to be godly in the end. Are you following me? He knows everything. J. Sidlow Baxter said this, "It's always important to distinguish between divine foreknowledge and divine predestination. God foreknows everything that every man will do, but he does not predetermine everything that every man does. No, that would make God the author of sin." God's not the author of sin. Now, these technical points that I'm bringing out, some of you may go, "Bill, this is just, I don't understand." Well, just bear with me on this, okay? Now, it says that, well, look at the verse. Where is it? Verse 13. "As it is written, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I've hated." Have you ever really studied out the life of Esau in the Bible? If God hated him so much, whenever Hagar was cast out of the house and because Sarai got mad at her and she went into the desert, you know, she was going to die. There she is. She's with child. And the angel of the Lord appears unto her and says, "Hagar, listen, you know, the little one that you have, I'm going to make him a great people, a great nation. And you're going to call his name Ishmael." Let me back up. Abraham, and let's back up just for a moment about Ishmael. Very important. I want you to see this before I get into how God hates Esau, all right? Here you have Abraham, Sarah, Keturah, the Egyptians, Hagar, and all this, okay, the women. Now, from them come Ishmael, right? Okay, the firstborn. Now, if Ishmael was appointed, say, you know, you're going to go to hell and you're predestined to be lost, why was such care given to him? I mean, think about it. When she leaves Sarah and runs into the wilderness, the angel of the Lord appears and tells Hagar, "Listen, the child that you have, you're going to call his name Ishmael, and he's going to make a great nation. Now you get back and go home." And she goes back. God tells Abraham, "I'm going to make a great nation out of him." Over and over, how God blesses him. You know, and you think, you know, how could that be? God doesn't hate him. God doesn't hate Esau either. You think of all the wonderful things that God has done. You know, when you study out the life of Esau, why did God give Esau, I believe it's Genesis chapter 36, the entire chapter on his genealogy? Think about that for a moment. And I look and I think about Jacob and Esau. And Jacob, of course, the deceiver. You know, they were twins and so forth. You know all the story, you know, when they were born, one of them, you know, came out, the first one, Esau came out, and he was all hairy, like covered like a garment, remember? Like a coat. And so they called his name Hairy. That's what Esau means. Okay. Then came Jacob. Jacob holding on to his brother's heel, and he came out and they called him heel catcher, subplanter, or deceiver. Do you understand? What a family that these two boys were raised in. I mean, think about it. Isaac, he loved Esau more than his other son. And Rebekah loved Jacob. You follow me along. If I say 100 different names, you still know what I mean, don't you? Man. No. You think about, I mean, what a crummy family they came out of. You know, Jacob steals his birthright, steals his blessing, deceives him out of both of them. And you know, his mother, what it says, "Get in there, honey, and put on some hair on your arms and act like you're your brother," because remember, he was a man of the field. He was a mighty hunter. But what's the guy's name? Jacob. It says that he was a mild man that lives in tents. In other words, he's like, you know, there's no hair on his body or anything, you know. He says, you have no humor this morning. No, listen, what a family. God hated Esau. You know what? Esau, whenever Jacob, he left, he fled to Laban, you know, Rebekah's brother, whoever he was, and he fled out there and he falls in love with Rachel, and then he marries Leah. Y'all bear with me. Don't just bear with me. I'm going someplace, believe it or not. And then he finally has to come home. And guess who he's going to have to meet? he's going to have to meet his brother, isn't he? The one that he ripped off. Now listen to me. When they come, and here they come, boy, Esau's coming with 400 of his men, and then you have Jacob coming with Leah and all the rest of them and all the little ones, and he puts them out front because he's afraid, okay? But when Esau saw him, saw his brother, you remember what he did? He got off his horse. He ran to him. He fell upon him. He started weeping and kissing him and holding him. But Jacob I've loved, and Esau, oh, I've hated that person. And the reason, because I predestined one to hell and one to heaven. That's not what God's word teaches. So what does it really mean when God in his word says, I love Jacob and I hate Esau? Here's my challenge to you. I love you with all my heart, guys, but listen to me. If you can find where God hated Esau, besides Romans, this verse that Paul's quoting, if you can find it in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, I'll give you $1,000. Or no, Kevin will. Mark will split it. Thank you. The word of knowledge, brother. Word of knowledge, yeah. And a word of wisdom. Yeah. No, do you understand? You're not going to find it. You know why you're not going to find it? It's not there. So what does it really mean when God says, I hated Esau. I've hated Esau. What does it really mean? You're not going to find it in Genesis. You know, I've looked through the whole book. I couldn't find it, but I did find it someplace. I found it in the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. It's right there. Now listen, if you read that, that means that it was written. It says, look what it says there, verse 13, as it is written. Where is it written? Not in Genesis. 1,000 years later, God records that in his word. Why? Because God is not speaking about an individual. Are you listening to me? It's so important that we get that. How many nations were in her? Two, that means there were a people. It had nothing to do with Jacob and Esau. That was who the lineage was going to come from. Two different lineages. And so when we look at this right here, this is speaking of a national election or choosing by God, not an individual election at all. Malachi, again, refers to two nations, Israel and Edom. Genesis 36, I believe it is, says that Esau was the father of the Edomites. And at that time, 1,000 years later, the Edomites were arch enemies of Israel and even America today. And not only that, they were ungodly. So God already knew which lineage to pick. Are you following me? God knows everything. Now listen, there's not one verse in Malachi, because see, the people, the Calvinists go there, their teachings, and they say, well, listen, you can see by God hated him right there in Malachi. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you read those verses, there's nothing there that even implies that they were predestined for hell or heaven. It's just not there. Listen to me. God doesn't hate sinners. He doesn't predestinate people to hell. He doesn't say, I chose you for heaven and I chose you. It's not there. Are you listening to me? Oh, that's so vital. God doesn't hate sinners. John 3:16, for God so loved the what? The world, the people of the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, verse 17, but that the world might be saved through him. And I say, God, that's what it's all about. Did you know that's not a call to just the elect? John 3:16 is a universal call to all mankind. Whoever so will, come to me. Jesus said, I died. I paid for every sin. Look at verse 12 again. And watch this. It was said to her, the older shall what? Serve the younger. I challenge you to find in Genesis where that ever happened. It didn't happen there. There's not one scripture where Esau ever served his brother Jacob. You say, well, Bill, why are you so adamant about this? Because we're not speaking about individuals. Do you understand that? Yeah. The difference. We're speaking about descendants. We're speaking about nations here. So where did that happen at? Well, Esau's descendants finally did serve Israel. We learned it, believe it or not, a couple of Wednesday nights ago in 2 Samuel, I think it's 8:14, when David defeated the Edomites, and it says, made them his servants forever. Are you with me? That's when it happened. Esau didn't serve him at all. You know, Esau was a bad dude. I mean, you know, when he sent Isaac to marry of his own lineage, what did he do? He went off and married people he shouldn't, the Canaanites. You know, and I know you say, well, he sold his birthright. Yes, he sold his birthright, but it doesn't say in there that because he did that, that he was lost. He said, well, Hebrews says he's a profane or a godless person. Okay, but you know, do you think maybe he got right with God? We don't know. You see what I'm saying? We try to put people in hell or some teachings, and it's not there in the Word of God. Why did God choose Jacob over Esau? Because Jacob, like I've already told you, he was no prize. He picked him because, again, God proved that he was right about the two lineages, where they would go. You know, that's what it's all about. Again, Jacob was saved just like everybody else. He was saved by faith. So now it leads us quickly, so we're going to move into next week just for a moment, to verse 14, to a very, very important question. It says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? In other words, is God ever unjust? And Paul goes, man, certainly not. God wasn't unjust on choosing Isaac over Ishmael or Jacob over Esau. You see, we cannot ever ignore the doctrine of election. God chose you before the foundation of the world. Amen? We can't. But what we cannot understand is, how do we take God's sovereignty and our human responsibility and somehow make understanding of it? It's a mystery. I don't have to understand it. I just have to believe it. Amen? You know, God has picked me. He has picked you. And I am so thankful that he has. You see, God is sovereign. Everything that God our Father does is absolutely, it's perfect. Perfect. God never, never makes a mistake. This is God's universe. It's not our universe. We didn't create it. We're the children, the sheep of his pasture. Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 115:3, it says, God is in heaven, and it says, he does whatever he pleases. Why? He's God. It says in Deuteronomy 32:4, God is the rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are justice, a God of truth. Without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Now listen, can you imagine believing that you were predestined to be saved? Okay, we were, but you didn't have a choice. God saved you whether you liked it or not. Saved you. You had no choice. You're a robot. Or here it is, I wasn't chosen to be saved. God predestined me to go to hell. But here I come and I hear the word of God and I hear somebody preach. I say, I want that. And say, no, you're not on the list. You can't have it. But I want to be saved. No, you're not predestined to be saved. Do you see how insanity that is? It's heartbreaking to me. Listen, salvation, yes, stands by election, God's choosing, God's picking. Here's the good news. How many has God picked? He's picked everybody. Oh, now I feel pretty good. Do you understand? I can trust God. He mean you picked everyone? Yes, I've picked everyone. Let me give you the scripture, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, to some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any, that means everyone, not willing that any should perish, but that all, that means everyone on earth, every person should come to repentance. The problem is, not everybody is willing. Jesus said in John 5:40, he said to the Jews, you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. And you may say, maybe you're here this morning, you're listening live, you're sitting in this chapel, and you say, well, Bill, I'm not a Christian. God didn't choose me. I said, well, why don't you choose God right now? That's all you have to do. Choose God right now. Accept Jesus as your Lord. Well, I don't want to. Well, maybe he didn't choose you. No. Well, that's not fair. Choose Jesus. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. 1 Timothy 2:4, God who desires not some men, not a few men, not just a couple men. He desires all men, that's all men, mankind, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. See, every person, God wouldn't say, okay, Esau, you don't have a choice. Ishmael, you don't have a choice. You're dirt, man. Your history, I've already determined your outcome. That's not it. Every man has a choice. Every woman has a choice. Every person has free will. Or God would have never said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Amen? He would have never said, look at your sins, boy, they are as scarlet. Oh, but I tell you what I can do. I can make them as white as snow. If you be willing, it goes on, and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Listen, I say, oh, God, you're so good. He's given us a choice in this life. Reject Jesus, accept Jesus. Jesus loves everyone. He died for the whole world. He didn't leave anybody out. Anybody. To say that a person is predestined for hell or predestined for heaven, God, it's heartbreaking. Matthew 25:41, the Bible says, Jesus said, God created hell for what? The devil and his angels. He doesn't want people in hell. God loves his creation. He loves people. You know, you want me to tell you how God treats sinners? I know it's time to go. It's not either. You know what? You know how God treats sinners? If you want to know how God treats a sinner, and, you know, if you study out your Bible, you know, you've heard the principle of first mention. When it's first mentioned, God's first loves the word love or whatever. Go back and look how God treated the very first sinners. Who were they? Adam and Eve. What did he do? He said, I'm going to burn you down. No, he looked at them and he was so upset. God says, oh, Adam, he said, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? Oh, and what did Adam do? Well, that woman, she gave me that. No, what did God do? He went out and he killed the animals. They probably had never seen blood. They'd never seen death. He took them and covered them. In other words, he forgave them. He put the cherubim with the flaming swords there in front of the Garden of Eden, lest they return and eat of the tree of life and live forever and ever. And then it says that God went out of the garden with them. He didn't say, you're on your own. God never left them. That's how God treats sinners. He says, listen, you come to me and I'll cleanse you from all sin. I want you to know something. No one has ever called on the name of the Lord and said, Lord, save me. And God goes, whoa, your name's not there, buddy. I feel bad for you. You can't make it. No. That's not how God works. See, the Bible says in Acts 17:10, God commands all mankind, everybody, to repent. Everywhere he says, repent. See, God loves us. God loves us. And the word predestined, by the way, just so you'll know, is never used in the Bible for someone who is lost. The word predestined in the Bible is always a beautiful word, not an ugly word. It's a word that God uses for us that he says, oh, I've picked you out. I picked you out all the way back before time was because I want you to be with me. And there that was that we were walking in this life and one day wherever we were and we received him. We received him. Jesus be the Lord of my life. God says, oh, home, now you're with me. Listen, that's what it's all about. If our study of Israel or the Bible, if God's eternal, unconditional promises to Israel, if they fail, then God's promises to the church will fail too. Do you understand me? But they will never fail. Never fail. You see, Jesus told us, remember, he said, all that the Father gives me. Now, the Calvinists say, that means just whoever, it couldn't be everybody, just a few. No, they come to me. Don't just isolate a verse. God wants everyone saved. And those who come to me, he says, I'll know why he's cast out. Jesus said, listen, I know my sheep. They know me. I know their name. They follow me. They're not going to follow the voice of a stranger. He said, oh, look. He said, listen, don't you see? They're in my hands. And not only are they in my hands, they're in the hands of my Father. When you go and study out the book of Isaiah and read what God says, he says, oh, I love you. You are mine. Why have you forsaken me? You say, I've forgotten you. And God says, how can I forget you, Israel? He says, can a mother forget her firstborn child? You can't do that. No. He says, look to them. He says, Isaiah 49, he says, I've inscribed you in the palm of my hand. Listen. We have a glorious future, but we must understand chapter 9 and chapter 10 and chapter 11. And next week you're going to go, oh, this is going to be good because God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Did he? Let's find out if that really happened. If you don't know Christ, listen to me. He wants you. He called you. He elected you. He said, come on, come to me. Are you listening? He's called you. You don't know the Lord. After the service, you come down here to this altar. There'll be people that'll pray with you and introduce you to Jesus Christ.
Pastor Study continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we hope you'll join us for Pastor's next message, What Hardens a Heart? And we want to thank you for listening along with us today, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International,
or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.